Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I better save that one for the 9 o'clock hour of this show. Yeah, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait just a little bit for this one. This is going to be some good stuff. So last night, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, along with 20-plus other Republican governors, were down in Florida having dinner with President Donald J. Trump. And it was so funny because, you know, Donald Trump, he's probably the most open and transparent president in the history of presidents, not just the presidency of the United States of America, presidents from any other country around the world, probably the most open and transparent president ever. Here he has used 20 plus Republican governors, and he has cameras there. He's got microphones there, and they go on and on and on and taking questions, giving answers. But then separate from that, they also, the Republican governors alone, had their own press conference down there at Mar-a-Lago. And you had the Trump Vance banner on the podium. And actually, it was Montana Governor Greg Gianforte who was the first to step up to the podium. He was kind of like the MC for the big Trump Republican governor's dinner press conference last night. So he kind of opened up with some remarks, and then he closed with some remarks. And then Florida Governor Ron DeSantis just tore in to one of these reporters with some great remarks. Maybe I'll play the DeSantis audio this hour of the show, but I'm going to save Governor Greg Gianforte's remarks for the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Plus, we're going to have Montana State University Extension expert join us on the show. Clayne Jones is an MSU Extension soil fertility specialist and professor in MSU's Department of Land Resources and Environmental Sciences. So they did a big study on pulse crops in wheat rotations and how that can increase profits for farmers. Now, some of you are like, yeah, we've known that for quite some time, right? We've known that if you mix in some pulse crops along with your rotation with wheat, that, yeah, it's good for the land, it's good for the soil. The soil then regenerates. You don't have to leave it fallow. You can, instead of leaving it fallow after you harvested your wheat, you can now plant pulse crops instead and then go back to wheat for the next rotation. Well, we've known that for quite some time, and producers in northeastern Montana have taken advantage of that for quite some time. But what about our farmers in the Golden Triangle? That's what this study is focused on. This study is focused on the Golden Triangle. So Clayne Jones is going to join us in about 1 hour, going over some of the details of that study. Looking forward to that. In the meantime here, in this 8 o'clock hour of the show, we got open phones for you right now. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. And we're going to do a little bit of a preview of the governor's meeting with President Trump last night in Mar-a-Lago. Eben Brown from Fox News Radio will join us, I think, around 8:40 this morning. So, but other than that, the rest of the time is ours, yours and mine. I'll yap about what I want to yap about. You'll call in and jump in on the conversation, too. 406-294-0970. We'll get right into it here right after this quick break. And, yeah, we might have to play the DeSantis audio a little earlier.
Securing America.
After the New Year's terrorist attack, which killed 14 people on Bourbon Street, the city of New Orleans is taking steps to try and prevent future incidents at February's Super Bowl, March's Mardi Gras, and in the years to come. New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
Doubling down how we can improve, again, to make our city safer.
New Orleans is partnering with former L.A. Police Chief and New York Police Commissioner Bill Bratton. His task.
How can we identify problems that need to be addressed?
He says the goal is to learn from what took place on New Year's and
preventing anything like that from happening again.
Bratton also says ISIS taught New Orleans and the entire country a lesson on New Year's.
The secret of terrorism was the ability to use the internet, the ability to inspire. They didn't have to be here.
He wants to establish a security platform for the city that will last for years. Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, instead of just farming wheat, why not mix in some pulse crops too? You know, northeastern Montana, they've done incredible with that exact combination, pulse crops and wheat. There's a new study out of Montana State University looking at the Golden Triangle in particular and how pulse grains in wheat rotations can increase profits for farmers. We're going to have an expert on the show on Friday's Montana Talks. Then we'll take your phone calls and more on everything else going on in the news. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. First up, let's just jump right into the callers here, see what you want to talk about. We've got Reed in Kalispell listening to KJJR. Reed, what's on your mind this morning? Reed, are you there? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Oh, Lee. Okay. All right. Sorry. Yeah, our producer heard your name wrong there. All right, Lee. Yeah, good to hear from you. What's going on?
This deals with Biden saying they're going to pay for 100% for all the rebuilding of all the houses in California. Now, of course, that means the taxpayers are going to pay for it, of course. But also, it kind of makes you wonder what people in Georgia and Florida think about that after Katrina, and they were only offered $750 for rebuilding their homes, and if they qualified.
Well, that's a very good point. Yeah, and I saw, you know, John Jackson, who joins us Tuesdays on this show. You know, he's from North Carolina, and he's got a lot of his Twitter friends that are from that neck of the woods as well. And they're already making that point. They're saying, you know, the people of North Carolina didn't get anywhere near the attention that the people of, and our hearts break for the people of California as well, but you know, the people of North Carolina didn't get anywhere near the attention that California is getting right now. And, you know, and we see this when we have fires in Montana, or if there's ranchers, you know, in rural Montana without power, or cattle are snowed in, or mass losses of livestock. Doesn't get anywhere near, of course, the attention as places like Los Angeles because of all the media bubble that's right there. But yeah, so basically the people of North Carolina who don't have their homes rebuilt yet are being told that, hey, Joe Biden is going to pay 100% of the rebuilding cost for some, you know, Hollywood celebrity to rebuild. And not, and of course, not that they're all. There's anywhere from the homeless to, you know, working class folks, who all the way up to Hollywood celebrities that have lost homes. But basically, yeah, you're going to say that you're going to give 100. Go ahead.
This is also a way to ask Trump, too. And I think he probably has a lot of friends in California that lost their homes.
Yeah. Yeah, no. That's the tough one here is it's like, okay, so if somebody lost their home in Montana, or all these people that lost their homes in North Carolina, but now you're saying we're going to go 10,000 homes, by the way, is the latest update. 10,000 homes and 10 people dead is what they're saying are the latest numbers out of these devastating fires in California. All right, Lee, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let me see. Bill Malusian, since Lee and Kalispell started with the fires down in L.A., let's get the latest report here from Bill Malusian, who always does a great job for Fox News Radio, not just covering the southern border mess, but covering all the other big news stories of the day as well.
Unfortunately, the updates just continue to get worse out here. L.A. County confirming we are now up to 10 deaths as a result of these catastrophic Southern California wildfires. Two of those deaths are confirmed to be right here in the Palisades fire, where at least 5,000 structures have been wiped out. Every single house burned down to its foundation, melted cars, power lines down, and up on the hill, there are still glowing embers.
Update there from Bill Malusian. President-elect Donald Trump continues his attacks on California Governor Gavin Newsom and President Joe Biden, accusing them both, I would say rightly so, of mismanagement. Here's the report from Kevin Cork with Fox News Radio. I think I got it queued up. Here we go.
He said this on a statement from his transition team. Governor Gavin Newsom refused to sign the water restoration declaration put before him that would have allowed millions of gallons of water from excess rain and snowmelt from the north to flow daily into many parts of California, including the areas that are currently burning in a virtually apocalyptic way. And no, he didn't spare President Biden either, posting this on Truth Social. No water in the fire hydrants, no money in FEMA. This is what Joe Biden is leaving me, end quote. Now, for his part, Mr. Biden did quickly move to approve Governor Newsom's request for a major disaster declaration.
All right. Now, this, of course, tees right in and leads right into Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and his remarks tearing into this reporter in Mar-a-Lago last night. Kind of funny when you watch the video on YouTube. Howard Mortman is with C-SPAN. Howard Mortman, so we'll have the audio thanks to C-SPAN here, but Montana Governor Greg Gianforte is at the podium with the Trump Vance sign, kind of emceeing the press conference with all these Republican governors before their dinner with President Trump. And one of these reporters asks a question, well, what do you guys think about, you know, here's President Trump, you know, oh, he's just being divisive. He's criticizing the governor of California. And that's what sets off Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is basically making the point, wait a minute. If California Governor Gavin Newsom was a Republican, you guys would be the ones attacking him, not Donald Trump. You guys will go after any Republican governor. But because he's a Democrat, oh, now you're running cover for Gavin Newsom. Now the question is, well, why is Donald Trump criticizing Governor Gavin Newsom? But if the tables were turned, they would be the ones criticizing California Governor Gavin Newsom if he had an R behind his name. So anyway, we'll play the Ron DeSantis audio coming up right after this. Plus, we've got a caller on the phone lines, Harold in Bozeman. Wants to weigh in on the fire rebuilding costs as well. So we'll start with Harold and Bozeman right after this, then get to the DeSantis audio and more. All right, stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When is your vehicle a threat to the community? Generally when it hits something or somebody. That's why we have licenses to drive, rules on how to drive, and consequences for those who don't obey them. There are also plenty of rules and regulations about the vehicles themselves, covering everything from headlights to airbags. But vehicle height has mostly escaped that regulation, and since 78% of new passenger vehicles these days were light trucks rather than cars, that height has been increasing, and the number of pedestrian deaths caused by collisions has been increasing as well. A new study gives strong evidence that the two trends are not a coincidence. The study looked at front-end height specifically with 3,400 crashes and estimated the likelihood of fatality went up by 22% for every 10-centimeter increase in front-end height. It's easy to understand why, both from reduced visibility for the driver and the higher point of contact with the pedestrian who struck. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Expect President-elect Trump to pardon more than 1,500 people charged with crimes after they stormed the Capitol more than 4 years ago when Congress met to certify the election results on January 6, 2021. The probe of the Capitol riot is the largest federal investigation in U.S. history. GOP Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene lamented that some of those convicted have been sentenced to years in jail. More than 1,200 people have pleaded guilty or been convicted after trials in connection with January 6th. More than 650 received prison time, ranging from from a few days to 22 years. Police officers who defended the Capitol are especially incensed about possible pardons. Many officers were beaten, some with their own weapons, as they tried to hold back the mob. 140 officers were injured on January 6th. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan supports some pardons, but not for those who committed violence. Congressional Democrats warn that the pardons could have far-reaching consequences, both for the rule of law and the security of the country. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we do have some big breaking news. And here's my reaction. Bring it. Bring it. All right, here we go. The sentencing was just announced by that corrupt judge, Juan Merchan, in New York City. But I think you're going to find it pretty interesting what was actually done. I've got the details in front of me right now. We're going to keep an eye on the Fox News radio affiliate website here so we can share audio and a news report for you here briefly as well. But, yeah, I'll get into the details of that story here real quickly. First, so let's go to Harold in Bozeman. Harold, thanks for the call. Yeah, your thoughts on the rebuilding costs that it's going to take to rebuild from these fires. I mean, massive. Entire schools, 10,000-plus homes. Crazy.
Well, the thing is, at least the quote I heard from Biden was that he was going to cover the cost of firefighting for the 180 days.
Not the homes.
The rebuild cost.
Oh, okay, great.
Now, that's better than catastrophic, because like you said, it's going to be billions of dollars to rebuild. But I'm still incensed of why are my tax dollars out here in Montana going to pay firefighting costs there? We don't see that when we have wildfires. We don't see Californians paying our firefighting costs. Why on earth do mine have to go there when they are responsible for not taking the precautions to mitigate these things?
When they've got more money than we do.
Yeah, definitely. This is a redistribution of wealth from people who pay attention and do things right to people who don't. That's wrong.
A $50 billion price tag. Now Zelensky's sitting back saying, $50 billion, that's nothing. Come on.
You know, this is mismanagement of the rest of our money by these morons that don't do what they need to do. So, no, I'm not okay with my tax dollars paying for their firefighting costs.
All right, Harold, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Thanks for listening to 1450 KMMS. All right, let me get the big breaking news in here before we quickly run out of time. Donald Trump, this is from FoxNews.com. Donald Trump sentenced with no penalty in New York criminal trial as judge wishes him Godspeed in second term. So, all right, lot to unpack here. First off, yesterday you had the United States Supreme Court in a split decision. They were asked by President Trump's legal team to stop this circus in New York to begin with, because the U.S. Supreme Court already ruled last summer, I think it was, that, look, no, he's got presidential immunity, so he can't be, you know, you can't prosecute him for stuff that was said while he was, you can't build your legal case using arguments of stuff that was allegedly said while he was president of the United States. And that is, of course, fundamentally embedded inside of this kangaroo court case against Trump in this New York case, right? Now, a lot of people are outraged at some of the so-called conservatives on the United States Supreme Court who still allowed this kangaroo court circus to move forward today with this sentencing, understandably so. Although I would add one caveat, President Trump, his official response to the Supreme Court decision yesterday was that they made a fair decision and that he will eventually appeal this entire case to begin with. So big picture, I think the only reason why this corrupt judge, Juan Merchan, wanted to move forward with the sentencing today anyway is because he and MSNBC and the liberal Democrats, They simply want to be able to say that Donald Trump is the first president to be sworn in as a convicted felon. Oh, yeah, you know what? We'll bring it then. Because lottie-dottie, nobody freaking cares. In fact, you put that label on him, the American people are going to rally behind him even more so. Even more so. Here's the deal. So somebody somebody called into the show earlier this week, and they're like, well, technically, the fake news media has been calling him a convicted felon ever since this, you know, court case concluded in New York City several months ago. They've been, oh, Donald Trump, convicted felon. It's like, well, technically, you're not a convicted felon until you've been sentenced. So this whole clown show should have never happened to begin with. The whole process should have been called to a halt, but yet it continues. And so the only reason why they move forward with the sentencing today is because this corrupt judge wants the Democrats to have the ability to call him a convicted felon. But nobody freaking cares. When I was at the Trump rally in Bozeman last summer in August, you know the T-shirt that I saw more than any other Trump T-shirt was the I'm supporting the convicted felon T-shirt, because the American people understand what a sham this whole thing has been, what a joke this whole thing is, and it's all the reason why the American people rallied behind Donald Trump even more so. So call him whatever you want. We're all still going to call him the President of the United States of America in 10 days. But let me get to the details here since this breaking news just came out. Let's see. Donald Trump sentenced with no penalty. Further down in this FoxNews.com story here, they say this. Mershon did not sentence the president-elect to prison, and instead sentenced him to an unconditional discharge, meaning there is no punishment imposed, no jail time, no fines, and no probation. The sentence, this is key here, also preserves Trump's ability to appeal the conviction. And I think Trump will eventually appeal this conviction and will be cleared. The whole thing will be overturned. The whole thing was just such a sham. And so I think, while a lot of people are outraged that the Supreme Court did not halt this kangaroo court from moving forward with the sentencing today, I think that eventually you will see the courts, if not the Supreme Court, overturn this conviction altogether. So I think yesterday the Supreme Court allowed the whole sham of a process to keep moving forward. But I think eventually the whole, you know, sham of a process will be called out for what it actually is. And the whole court case will be thrown out eventually anyway. But yeah, we knew going into the sentencing today that Trump wouldn't get any jail time, because the Supreme Court kind of acknowledged that and saying, well, you know, they're not really going to try to do anything to prevent him from becoming president or whatever, so we'll let it move forward. But the fact that Mershon didn't even impose a fine, didn't even impose probation, shows that Mershon knows that people are sick of his Adam Schiff. You know what I mean? And then Mershon added in his sentencing remarks today, he said, quote, sir, I wish you Godspeed as you assume your second term in office. All right, so there you go. Take that for what it's worth, coming from this crooked judge in New York City. All right, now let's go to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte was there last night along with 20-plus other Republican governors, having dinner with President Donald J. Trump. And then they had the press conference. Let's see, where's my Florida DeSantis audio? Here it is. Benny Johnson shared this via X. So a reporter says, well, what do you guys think about, you know, Donald Trump attacking the governor in the wake of this disaster? And listen to DeSantis respond.
President-elect or a president to be criticized.
Is it appropriate for people in your industry to try to create division and to try to create narratives anytime these things happen? Now, you're not as interested in doing that because Newsom is a D. If Newsom was a Republican, you guys would go try to, you would have him nailed to the wall for what they're doing over there. And I know we've dealt with it. We just assume in Florida, anytime something happens, it's going to be politicized by the media. So you guys sitting in judgment of Donald Trump, I mean, excuse me, I think your track record of politicizing these things is very, very bad.
Okay, so, last
so
question.
So Newsom should resign and that the wildfires are all his fault. So do you agree with those comments?
I remember when we had the Surfside Tower collapse. I had people from the Washington Post trying to blame me for it immediately without having any facts or anything. Oh, he didn't declare a state of emergency. First of all, state of emergency doesn't mean you
but
can't
Biden
respond.
Did,
it's all that. Excuse me?
Biden did it. That's what you said.
Well, but what I'm telling you is you guys are trying to make an issue of it when I have watched from this seat. In fact, when I got elected governor, I was meeting with some of the other Republican governors, and what they would say is, hey, if you have a natural disaster, just know media's coming at you, they're going to do it. It's not the same. That mayor of L.A., if that were a Republican mayor, I can only imagine what that would do. I mean, you know the fires are at high risk, and you try to go to Africa or wherever she was to go on some type of voyage. You should have been there preparing and doing that, and yet I don't see a lot of heat being directed in that thing. And so, you know, I'd like to see some balance on how this is done. You could criticize the president-elect, but I think you also have to hold these other people accountable, and I have not seen that.
Look, he's exactly right. If Gavin Newsom was a Republican and he had been warned repeatedly about how the big one could be coming and here's what you need to do to better be prepared for wildfires, and then to the city of Los Angeles, why this failure, why that failure, why the $17 million cut to the fire department while you're funding all this woke garbage, they would get destroyed. But it's a Democrat, so the media has to defend Newsom and try to throw shade on Trump. All right, lots to talk about. We got Evan Brown covering the meeting, and he'll be up with us here right after the break. They had a really nice dinner there at Mar-a-Lago with President Donald J. Trump. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Or, hey, if you're our good friend from Great Falls, it's what's for supper. Supper, dinner, breakfast, lunch, I don't care what you call it. Having the ideal amount of protein in your diet is important. It's important if you want to stay healthy, but it's also a key factor if you want to lose weight. Look, it's January. A lot of people are wanting to shed some pounds following the holidays. You got to get the ideal amount of protein in because protein is what helps you retain muscle but burn fat. And that's what Billings Last Diet is all about. Billings Last Diet now has a remote option, so you can go through their program no matter where you're at in the state. Check it out, BillingsLastDiet.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, keep your phone calls coming. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970. We'll get back to your phone calls here in just a quick few minutes. But first up, yeah, we've got Evan Brown, Fox News Radio, joining us now from Miami. Evan, great to have you back on Montana Talks. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Great to be with you.
Yeah, did you get to go to the dinner last night? Did you get any scraps off the plate or anything?
No. And in fact, I don't even know what they had. And the thing is, it's Mar-a-Lago, right? So you expect maybe lobster tails and filet, or but it's also Donald Trump, so they might have just had Big Macs. I don't know.
Either way, it looked like they were all happy to be there. Yeah, so I saw a little bit of footage from this big meeting, President-elect Trump hosting 20-plus Republican governors for dinner in Florida last night. And, our governor, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, was kind of like the MC for their press conference ahead of the dinner. What were some of the key highlights or key takeaways covering this story?
Well, I think it was more than anything, I think this was kind of like a team-building exercise. You know, the president is going to need the governors to implement his policy, especially with regard to migration issues and border protection. We have a federal government. That means we do not have a national government. Our government is designed by our founders to have the national capital, if you will, work alongside sovereign states. That's how it was originally designed. So it does require states to kind of step up and do what they need to do. And we've seen a number of Republican governors do that over the past 4 years, especially with regard to migration stuff and border issues. We've seen that Florida and Texas to be quite the example here. But also part of this was, I think, to get everyone feeling good about each other. There had been a lot of bad blood between the president-elect and a couple of those Republican governors, even some that he originally had some good relationships with. For instance, Ron DeSantis. When Ron DeSantis entered the presidential field, I think President Trump took that very personally, and he made it known. Governor Kim Reynolds of Iowa was the first big name to endorse Ron DeSantis as opposed to Donald Trump, and that left a mark. Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia kind of fell out of the circle, really going back to 2020 following the election and the Georgia issues with the election. So this, I think, was probably a moment for everyone to get together and kind of bury hatchets and make sure they're all on the same page and everyone's feeling good about one another, because they all do need to work together if they want to accomplish what they all say they want to accomplish. And one thing that President Trump is very good at is disarming people in the moment. And I think a great piece of evidence for that was yesterday at President Carter's funeral, where President Biden was somber and not interacting, and President Bush was somber and not interacting. And neither was Vice President Gore or President Clinton or Vice President Harris. But President Trump and President Obama were yucking it up, and very visibly so.
Yeah,
and
wasn't that interesting? Did you watch some of the video of that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I watched it in real time. They have had nothing but harsh and awful words for one another for years now. There they were, not only just sitting next to each other. They didn't have to. And they're, like I said, yucking it up. They're obviously exchanging some kind of jokes or whatever, because they're laughing. There's physical contact on shoulders and turning towards each other to talk. Last night, President Trump said, I saw how it looked on TV. And I guess, people would think that we like each other. And I suppose we probably do. That's a major change of how to look at these two men.
They look like a couple of buddies watching a basketball game together.
That was kind of it. Yeah.
What about Kamala Harris?
There's nothing more that Donald Trump loves more than the convert. He loves to take someone who used to hate him and who now and turn him into a believer, or her into a believer.
Well, Kamala Harris did not look happy, did she? She turned around and saw those two yucking it up, and then she was not happy, it looked like, anyway. That's just an assumption.
If you're going to assume on facial expression, that could be an easy assumption. But, we don't know, and she hasn't said anything about her feelings about yesterday. But the view from the chief seats, if you will, that is watching it on television, was quite telling. So, like I said, this is part of I think, President Trump's goal here is to get the Republican Party at all levels acting like a majority party, which is something that the Republicans have struggled with for decades, if not generations. They don't know how to coalesce. Democrats, on the other hand, are very good at coalescing. One of the longstanding criticisms of the Republican Party establishment by the outsider, more conservative populist wing has always been no one gets along. Everyone is putting each other to a purity test and we can never get anything done. And I think President Trump recognizes this now and is actively working to build the team.
To unite the country as well. Yeah.
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Evan Brown, great report as always. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
All right. Appreciate it. Yeah. I was going to talk a little bit about the Jimmy Carter funeral yesterday. And it was interesting seeing the Bushes, the Clintons, the Trumps,
and Kamala Harris there and the Obamas. You know, it was very interesting just watching the interactions or lack thereof. My former Vice President Mike Pence shook hands with President Trump as well. That was another standout there. All right, first, before we get back into the phone calls here, here is President Trump as they were sitting down for dinner with the Republican governors, including Governor Gianforte.
So we had a great meeting with almost every senator, Republican senator, and I would say that, first of all, it was a love fest. This is a love fest, too, I believe. I'll let you know in about an hour. But this is pretty much a love fest. I mean, the governors aren't exactly chopped liver, right? This is a group of people that have done a phenomenal job, and especially when you see what's going on in Los Angeles and all, you look at the way they've run their states, it's incredible. I talk about it all the time, the top 25 states, and I don't believe we have any in the list of crime. So every one of them is a Democrat-run state. We want to get along with the Democrats. I'm trying to be nice. We're going into a new term. It's going to be a great time for them. I'm going to call it the golden age. I believe we have a chance at the golden age of America. But I have to tell you, you look at the crime, it's all on the shoulders of Democrats and the way they run their states. And if these people ran those states, same people, same everything, but you put these people in those states, you wouldn't have crime like that at all.
Yeah, great remarks there by President Trump, and that's the story we've seen over the last 4 years in particular. The red states, like Montana, we have a good story to tell. The blue states, like California, not so much. Chris in Columbia Falls, next up on the phone lines. Chris, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Okay, you know, in my opinion, you will not have a healthy Montana until we address these points. Now, these points were addressed by the governor the other day, and I heard them. I some of them I disagree with, but I'm going through a budget here of my own, and, you know, I can save just a year, almost $2,000 on one thing if I do away with it. Gas prices are down, so that means it's money in my pocket, and people who have big businesses, lots of trucks, lots of cars, they're saving money right now. And the other thing is increase in Social Security checks. Some will receive some good returns, some won't. But it's a positive thing. Things that are not positive, Aaron, is auto insurance needs to be addressed. Home insurance, home tax per year. These things are not being addressed. And yesterday you talked about the grizzly bear continuing. And the Forest Service gates, as far as I'm concerned, are still locked up since the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have access to a lot of the land that we had back in the early 90s and the 80s and the 70s.
There's a lot of work to be done, that's for sure. No, Chris, great points, great phone call, especially what Chris just said there about home insurance. You think about $50 billion price tag is what they're looking at already in California as a result of these wildfires. This is going to be a big topic that I know State Auditor Jim Brown is going to be looking to tackle, because in Montana, we pay homeowners insurance based off of California, and that should not be taking place. We are so far away from them. We are so different from them. Why should we be judged based off of what's going on in California? So that'll be a good follow-up conversation to have with State Auditor Jim Brown in particular. Chris, thanks for the call. I got to take another quick break here. For some reason, I'm not hearing the music, but maybe you guys are out there. But we'll take a quick break. And then we've got Tim and Savage first up right after this. We'll go to Tim and Savage and as many of the callers as we can before we run out of time here this hour of the show.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
President Trump reinforced the criticism of this. Fire is spreading rapidly for 3 days with zero containment. It took forever for them to call up the guard, for crying out loud. Nobody's ever seen such failed numbers before. Gross incompetence by Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass. And Biden's FEMA has no money, all wasted on the new green scam. L.A. is a total wipeout. I mean, it's now so nightmarish, fueled by these high winds, unmanaged brush, lack of basic, simple, common sense fire management, forestry management. It could be the most costly in history, but by the time this is all said and done.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
All right, you said bye-bye to big government, and you want limited government. You voted for that. Well, now it's time to trim the fat from big wireless. If you are still using the big carriers, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, I ask, why are you doing that? Because my cell phone company, Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, gives you the exact same service. They use the same cell towers. You get the same 5G network. You get better customer service. And they're based here in the U.S., and you pay half the price for the exact same thing. And that's right. There's simply no need to spend $85, $100 a month per person on your wireless bill. Not when you can get unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot for just $35 a month. And by the way, the average family of four saves about $1,000 a year with Pure Talk. Make the switch. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword, save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword, save now, from our friends at Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. After 544 regular season games, it's time for the NFL playoffs. The two-time reigning champion Chiefs have the inside track to return to the Super Bowl for a fifth time in 6 years. Kansas City earned a first-round playoff bye and home field advantage through the AFC playoffs. Same story for the Detroit Lions in the NFC. If Minnesota wins its wild card game Monday night versus the Rams, the Vikings would return to Detroit to play the Lions for a second time in 3 weeks. First three this weekend in the AFC, starting with the Texans home against the Chargers Saturday afternoon. Then an AFC North matchup between the Steelers and heavily favored Ravens in Baltimore. Sunday, the Bills a big favorite at home against the Broncos. Then in the NFC, 4:30 Eastern time on Fox TV, the Eagles host the Packers. Sunday night, it'll be the Buccaneers home against the Commanders. Since the NFL added wildcard teams to the playoffs in 1980, seven have won the Super Bowl.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I just finished up my mid-morning snack. 16 grams of protein, and yeah, these pizza crisps that I got here from Billings Last Diet, they're pretty good. Holy cow, Tim in Savage tells me he is very close to reaching his goal of losing 75 pounds thanks to Billings Last Diet. He's thinking, why don't I go for 85? Why don't I keep going? How awesome is that? But either way, Tim, great to hear from you. Yeah, what'd you think about, Trump and DeSantis, the media, and more?
Well, I love DeSantis hitting back at the media on that, and that is so necessary. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking during COVID and all of the loony lockdowns and all of the BS out of the media, and we're finally to that point where we've got our leaders and our national leaders are getting some traction and calling it out and say, look, you're not telling the truth. You're just left-wing ideologues, and you're just repeating what the DNC tells you to say. And so I just love the fact, DeSantis striking back at them. And this is putting that out there. I mean, putting out there and letting them know that everything they're saying is slanted, and they got no response to it. It used to be that every other outlet would then defend them. But now we've got some fair-minded media outlets there. We've got a whole separate media now that's looking at, let's just get the truth out and let the people decide. Back in the 60s and 70s when we actually could hear, just here's the news, you decide.
Yeah. Well, and like they've just been embarrassed on so many fronts, and they're so predictable. So it was so easily predictable that they would figure out a way to criticize Trump and defend Newsom because, yeah, COVID was a perfect example. So many in the media cheerleaded the lockdown governors, but then tried to bash the freedom-loving governors. And everybody in America freaking knows now who was right and who was wrong when it comes to that nonsense, right?
Well, yeah, and then you look at this L.A. mayor. I mean, she attacked Ted Cruz years ago for being out of the state during a firestorm or something like that. I can't remember what storm it was.
Well, yeah, the cold weather, power outage.
Continent. Yeah, and she's out of the continent during this, and she tries to they forget that everything that gets put on the internet is there forever. And so they forget about all of that crazy crap that they've said in the past. You know, that's going to come back and bite you.
It is now, but because we, the people, have our own media outlets to get that message out. Because if we left it up to the mainstream media, they wouldn't remind you of what she tweeted out back then, right? Tim and Savage, great to hear from you. Glad that Billings' last diet remote option is just continuing to work wonders. That is awesome news. I'm doing my diet tune-up right now. Tim in Billings, looks like Tim will get the final word here. We've got, well, actually, we've got, I think, about a minute or so to go. Tim, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. I wonder, why wouldn't Trump have such a cheerful and happy demeanor at the Carter funeral? He had a chance to sit down and look in the eye every single person who took their absolute best shot politically, you know, and some would say maybe, you know, physically as well with the assassination attempts. But every one of the political opponents took their very best shot to try to take him down, and he could sit there and look him in the eye and give him a smile and say, I'm still standing.
Right. No, yeah. Good point. I mean, you had the Bushes, the Clintons, the Obamas, and even Mike Pence, and he had a fallout. But yet, here's Donald Trump walking in like, hey, it's my buddies, it's my pals, and I'm going to be sworn in president in 10 more days. Now, Andy and Whitefish just sent me a message here because I said that the Obamas were at the Carter thing. He says Big Mike was not there. That was from Andy and Whitefish. That was not for me. That was from Andy.
Big Mike was not in the house.
What? Oh, man, that's just wrong. But why wasn't Michelle Obama there, right? Like, why wasn't she there? That'd be interesting.
Probably at a Netflix meeting, trying to ground up their next scam on how to, you know, sucker money out of people to produce something that doesn't ever go anywhere.
I wonder if,
you know,
Trump was...
I
wonder if Trump was joking around with Obama. Hey, did you get put in the doghouse? Where's Michelle? What's going on, man? Oh, yeah. All right, back after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When is your vehicle a threat to the community? Generally when it hits something or somebody. That's why we have licenses to drive, rules on how to drive, and consequences for those who don't obey them. There are also plenty of rules and regulations about the vehicles themselves, covering everything from headlights to airbags. But vehicle height has mostly escaped that regulation, and since 78% of new passenger vehicles these days were light trucks rather than cars, that height has been increasing, and the number of pedestrian deaths caused by collisions has been increasing as well. A new study gives strong evidence that the two trends are not a coincidence. The study looked at front-end height specifically with 3,400 crashes and estimated the likelihood of fatality went up by 22% for every 10-centimeter increase in front-end height. It's easy to understand why, both from reduced visibility for the driver and the higher point of contact with the pedestrian who struck. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.